Thank you, thank you. My name is Nico Rikke, and I'll give it to Lucas to start it off.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. I'm very glad to be here. Thank you for the organizers to invite us to this talk. I'm very happy to see that there are a lot of interest to DMA because we have been working already on this for some time. And I would like to contextualize all the problems that we already start hearing here about interoperability, about security, about having access to infrastructure from the telecom perspective, because together with Nico, we would like to prompt you with our experience on advocacy on routers. And I think that contextualizing this example on routers and router freedom in Europe can help us to understand a little bit better what expect us when we start dealing with smartphones from the DMA perspective. So let's talk about end user control over devices. This contextualization about the DMA and telecom, and then I will give the word to Nico so he can tell us our experience with router freedom. The first question I would like to ask us, do we have control of our devices? Devices are becoming ubiquitous. We are using that for everything in life, but I have the feeling that we are losing control over our devices. We cannot change the battery. We cannot uninstall the programs. We cannot even install programs. Today, people call it sideloading, but in laptop, we don't call that side loading because we just downloaded and installed. But big tech now says to us that if we wanted to install something outside the App Store, we need to side load. This is not good for software freedom. But let's talk about that. So I think that we are losing a little bit control of our devices. And here are some key aspects of gatekeeper control of our devices. First, they are imposing online accounts us. So if we want to use our devices, they say, yeah, first you need to create an account with me, right? And then I think when I bought my Android phone, I was prompted. The first thing that I showed in the screen was you need to create an online account, right? When we using our smartphones, we are already trapped into vendor lock-in because we have no access to third-party repositories and app stores. And this is really key because on these repositories is where we can find apps and we can exercise our software freedom in order to populate our devices with our software. And last but not least, we are not free even to uninstall software that comes to our devices. And we check that sometimes Android device or iOS devices, there are a list of apps there that is draining our battery and they're doing stuff because it's proprietary, but we don't have access to the source code. So we have absolutely no clue what is happening there. So based on these facts, I think that we are losing control of our devices. And therefore, some questions that I would like to prompt the audience and perhaps in the coming moments of a workshop we need to answer is that how we can re-empower users to have control of our devices. So we already heard that DMA is a very important piece of that, and I believe so. I think DMA is crucial, but we need to go further. First, we need to recognize that devices or ecosystems are mostly proprietary. So the largest two operating systems, smartphones, they are proprietary. Android and iOS, they are proprietary. So, and therefore, being that, and since they are so large, we are calling the gatekeepers, right? Due to their monopolistic power over termination bottlenecks. So basically, everything that we needed to do with these devices, we need to go through these companies. That's why we are calling a monopoly over the term features of these devices, such as, for example, operating systems, browsers, and app stores, right? And of course, we hear them, since they have this power of devices, they can hinder interoperability. And they exercise tight controls of APIs, apply proprietary standards that we heard today, hampering functionality and block access to drivers and hardware. So in the FSFE, the Free Software Foundation Europe, we have been working on a concept that we call it device neutrality. And this, thank you, we want to re-empower users and to give control over devices back to them by software freedom, eliminating vendor lock-in, and giving end users control over data. And last but not least, I would just would quickly, because I'm a lawyer, and I would like to point to what is happening nowadays in the EU, right? So for 10 years, we have been working on the Open Internet Regulation, also called the Net Neutrality Regulation. And this regulation had very clear rules over internet access devices. So it applies to routers, modems, and other internet access devices. Then in 2018, there was a reform of the telecom law in Europe called the European Electronic Communications Code. And it then implemented some rules over iOS, over operating systems and apps, and also to network operators. But now comes the DMA with rules over devices and operating system and apps. And in order to contextualize all these challenges, I would like then to give the word now to Rico, to Nico, I'm sorry, so we can learn a little bit how DMA can connect to that from the perspective of routers.
Okay, as a case study, yeah. Router freedom. Well, my wife and I were really excited. We got our first house. We were moving in together, so we had to prepare for the move. And one of the things we had to do was get an internet contract. And we didn't think of much of it. We were doing some comparisons and we said, okay, we got this contract. It was some all-in-one provider, and you could recognize it from the box. It was an all-in-one box. It did TV, telephony, and internet. But also, outside of being a box that did everything, it was a modem, a router, and it did so badly. It failed quite a bit of times. At a certain point, it failed entirely, and we had to wait 3 days without any of the services to get a replacement. But after another failure, getting dropped out of an internet call, I said, okay, this is it. I'm going to get a router myself so I know I can trust it and it's reliable. But I found out that this internet provider didn't really support that. That was odd to me because previously I was on a telephone network connection and they were even advertising that you could use your own router and modem, and some of my friends were doing so. Also, if you would call them for support, they say, are you using your own modem? They would just assume that was something you could do, but not with this provider. So that was odd, and I learned about router freedom. And of course, there's a lot of benefits here on the slide, some personal, but also some in the grander scheme of things, like competition and creating a healthy ecosystem of devices. Now, internet providers put up quite some barriers to prevent you from exercising router freedom, the ability to choose your own modem and router. Some of them actually have some technical merit. For example, the telephony network is laid out differently than a coaxial network. If your modems start doing bad things on a television network, the coax network, as the lines are shared, you might interfere with the devices of your neighbors. But that, of course, is why we have standards. If your device is compliant and the standard, you can get one from the store, plug it in, and it will work. And there's no reason to deny you those freedoms. Actually, one of my FSFE friends said, oh, it works just fine. I have these and these devices running at some friends. I can really recommend to use your own router and get the freedom you want. So it wasn't really a technical barrier. Now, at the FSFE, we've been at this for 10 years, as Lucas said. And we keep an interactive map, keeping all the states and working with regulators to ensure that router freedom is actually achieved. One thing in 2015 is that we had the EU Net Neutrality Act, and it was like, yeah, and it says users should be able to replace or change their device. So you think, okay, router freedom, everything is good. But not unless the regulators regulate. That's the main thing, and that's why we have this map to keep up with the regulator and the state. Now, about 2 years ago in Belgium, there was a consultation about modemvrijheid, vrije modemkeuze. Basically, the ability to choose your own modem. There was a consultation, and I saw this like, okay, we have to get in on this. Even though I'm from the Netherlands, I care about this, I can do in Dutch. We got a different volunteer, some from Belgium, and together with Lucas, we responded. We were quite alone initially, not having other parties that had the technical knowledge to go through this legislation and have the community behind them. But eventually, through a survey, we were able to actually engage the crowd I come up with the argument and we achieve router freedom. Just shortly, here are some examples of people in our community using their routers at home to also establish the practice of router freedom. There's also benefit of free software on routers, but that's something else. And myself, I now happily using fiber with my own router. And Lucas, if you want to wrap it up.
Yeah. So, yes. So it's a big win when we have router freedom. And we fought against the operators that, and they always came to say that interoperability is a problem, security is a problem. But with router freedom, we could prove that this cannot be a problem. And I hope that with our discussion with DMA, we can bring our experience and say that we can also overcome this problem. Thank you very much.